Okay, are you ready?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
All right, praise God. So, is this the class?
So, grade 3 and grade 4.
Did I have them yesterday or?
Yes, brother.
Did I have them yesterday or today?
The same group of yesterday.
Some of them yesterday?
Yes, afternoon session.
Okay. So tell me, is there anybody from yesterday remember what we were talking about? Okay, somebody tell me something that they heard yesterday. Okay. God's what?
God's house.
Yes. And what was it that we drew to show God's house? What did we draw on the board yesterday? I'm sorry?
Furniture.
I can't hear you.
Furniture?
Is that? Yeah. All right, well.
Bandage.
What else did we draw to show God's house? I think you should stand up.
Body of the Lord.
Okay, body of the Lord. All right. Well, do you remember what this is called? Do you remember what we called this?
Sanctuary.
What did we call it? Yeah, but it had. Well, I'm hearing different answers.
Tabernacle. Moses,
tabernacle.
Moses? Tabernacle.
Okay. Okay, this was tabernacle. Okay. It is a tabernacle, and it has three different parts, right?
Yes.
You remember?
Yes.
Okay. What is this part?
Outer court.
Very good. This is the outer court. All right. And what is this place?
Holy place.
All right. Holy place. And what is this place?
Holy.
All right. Holy
of Holies.
Praise the Lord. Now, I drew a picture like this. Do you remember what that represents?
Yes, body,
soul,
spirit.
Okay, what is this?
Body.
That's the body. And what is this?
Soul.
And what is this?
Spirit.
All right. And this equals... This equals you. That is what you are. Your body. You have a soul, and you have a spirit. Praise the Lord. And now each one of these parts corresponds to one of these parts here. So what does the body relate to in this picture?
Outer court.
Very good. So it's the outer Outer court. And what does this one relate to?
The holy place.
The what?
The holy place.
Oh, the holy place. All right. There we go. And then this one?
Holy of holies.
All right. Holy of holies. Holy of holies. So, anything in the outer court pertains to the salvation of the body. And you have to be saved. You have to be saved, body, soul, and spirit. There is a scripture. I won't look at it now, but there's a scripture that Paul, when he was talking about the church, he said that he wanted to present that church perfect to God, body, soul, and spirit. So there is a complete work that God has to do in you and I. Praise the Lord. So, now, there are seven pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. And each piece of furniture represents a process of development, a growth in development. So, what grade are you in?
Three.
You're in three?
Three.
You in four? All right. Now, before you were in third grade, what grade were you in? No, before you were in third grade.
Four.
No, you weren't in four unless you flunked a grade. No. Yes, you would have been, if you were in third grade, you would have been in second grade. And you would have graduated to third grade, right?
Yes.
Is that right? And if you're in fourth grade, what grade were you in before you?
Three.
And what grade were you in before you were in three?
Two.
And what grade were you in before that?
One.
Yes. Now, how come you're now in grade three?
Four.
Why are you in third or fourth grade now? How did you get there? How did you get there? All right, well, I tell you, when you were in first grade, you had certain things you had to learn, right?
Yes.
And when you learned them, at the end of the year, do you give tests at the end of the year as to their grading and whatnot? So at the end of the year, you had to take a test, right?
Yes.
And if you pass that test, okay, you're in grade one, and they give you a test, and you pass that test, what happens? You get to go to grade two. And then you have to repeat the process, right? You repeat it.
Yes.
You do it again.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
All right. It is the same thing in development and growth. That is what you call development and growth. And just as you turn another year older and you get taller and you get more adapt physically, so it is also that God wants you to grow in the spirit. And as you have different classes, I think you go to, what is the cutoff point of education where they either go to university or they go to vocational school or something like that? What is that point of cutoff? Is it 8th, 9th, 10th grade or 12th grade?
12th grade.
12th grade. All right. In your school development,
8 to 12.
In your school development, you have 12 grades that you have to go through until you have to make a choice of whether university or vocation, right?
Yes.
That's 12 grades. That's 12 steps. That takes you 12 years. Right now, some of you are on your third year. Some of you are on your second year, fourth year. And it is the same way in the tabernacle. There are different stages of development. There are different stages of growth. Hallelujah. And you start out here in the beginning, out here, outside the tabernacle. This is all the world. This is all the world. Now, tell me, who's in charge of the world? Well, unfortunately, he's not in charge of it. Anything out here is the world. Huh? And out here in the world is the devil's domain. You understand me?
Yes.
Everything out here in this world now belongs right at the moment to the devil. That's why we're so much trouble. That's why there's so much sin. That's why there's so much death. That's why there's so much war. That's why there's so much poverty and whatever else there is. Because the devil is in charge of this world. Hallelujah. But God has a plan, and he has a purpose to deliver you from the world. Do you know what I mean by deliver you?
Yes.
He has a plan to, how would I put it, save you from the world. Praise the Lord. Now, when you and I are born, when we're originally born, we're not only born into the world, okay? But we have the world. We have the world in our soul. Hello? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Huh? Sometimes maybe you have a situation, a set of circumstances, and you are told not to do something. And you know you're not supposed to do that something. But somebody comes to you and they say, well, I would like you to do that something with me. Okay? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So now you have to choose, right? Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yes, you have to choose whether you're going to obey what you were told not to do, or you're going to go with your friend to do something that you should not do. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
So what is happening? What is happening in that situation? What is happening is the world out here is talking to the world in here for you to disobey. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll tell you what it is. I'll give you a perfect example of it. You're in your classroom, right?
Yes.
And your teacher is talking, and you are supposed to be paying attention to your teacher, right?
Yes.
You're supposed to be listening to your teacher, right?
Yes.
And your teacher wants you to listen, right?
Yes.
And not only that, there is a rule that says you have to listen to your teacher, right?
Yes.
But your friend next to you doesn't want you to listen to your friend, to the teacher. He wants you, or she wants you, to listen to her. Huh?
Yes.
So she'll pass you a note, or she will tap you on the shoulder, and you find yourself having to make a decision. Right?
Yes.
So what kind of decision are you going to make? Are you going to make a decision with the world, or you are going to make a decision in the aspects of what it is God is requiring of you? It's a difficult situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because she's your friend, or he's your friend. And you don't want to make them mad, but yet you know you're supposed to be listening to your teacher. But your friend is poking you, maybe pulling your hair, I don't know. Hallelujah. And it's a difficult situation. But it is a situation between what is right and what is wrong. And you have to make a decision concerning that. So out here, if you're out here in the world, you will more than likely always make the wrong decision. You will always make the decision to disobey. Hallelujah. Many times we have no choice because we're under the power of sin. Now, this type of scenario can also be called sin. Sin. Now, did we discuss what sin is? Did we come up with a definition to sin? Huh?
Yes.
I don't know if we did or not with you. Now, what would you think in the scenario, in the story I just told you, what do you think would be called sin? What kind of decision and its consequence would be called sin? Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if they really understand the concept. You have to obey, or you will disobey. Obey is to resist sin. Right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. All right. Now, out here in the world, we have a very hard time to do that. But God devised or made a way by which we can defeat sin, that we can defeat the world, that we can overcome the world. Hallelujah. And that the means by which he did that is represented or is pictured in the first piece of furniture in the tabernacle. Does anybody know what this is?
Brazen altar.
Brazen altar. Very good. This is the brazen altar. Now, I want to tell you, I don't think you were in the morning's class, but everything that God made has a spiritual significance, has a spiritual meaning. The Bible calls men, human beings, as trees of righteousness. So a tree is a symbol of God's righteousness as far as men are concerned. Let me tell you a little story that's in the Bible. One day, Jesus is just walking down a road, you know, just minding his own business with his disciples, and he's just talking with them of the business of the day. But there is a blind man on the side of the road, okay? And he hears that Jesus is coming, right? And so he says, Jesus, son of David, Jesus, the son of David. And he keeps crying out, Jesus, the son of David, Jesus, the son of David. And finally, Jesus responds and goes to the man, has the man brought to him. And he says to the man, what is it that you desire of me? Now, the man was blind. Have you ever seen a blind man?
Yes.
Did you know he was blind?
Yes.
It was very evident that the man was blind, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was very, you could tell it really clear that the man was blind.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Jesus knew the man was blind, but the man needed to ask Jesus what it was he wanted Jesus to do for him. And that is a very important spiritual principle. If you want something from God, you have to define it. You have to ask God exactly as it, what it is that you want him to do for you. So when Jesus, the man said that he said, Master, that I might receive my sight. Hallelujah. Did you hear this Bible story before?
No.
Oh?
Blind man Lord, I saw the name Jesus. Huh?
And when Jesus touched the man's eyes, he asked the man, what do you see? What do you think the man said? What do you think he said? He says, I see men. I see men, people, walking as trees. So actually, he saw man like a tree, but that tree was walking. Hallelujah. So when Jesus healed the man, he healed him too good. He healed him too good. So he had to pray for him again to bring him down in order for him to see in the natural and not in the spiritual. So if you could see in the spirit, you could very possibly see men or humans walking around as trees. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the things in the world have a significant value to us as Christians. Now, the remedy, and what started that is the brazen altar was called brazen altar because it was made out of brass. You know what brass is?
Yes.
I hope you do, because I don't know how to explain it to you. Hallelujah. It was made out of brass. It has a gold kind of metallic color to it. Hallelujah. But it's not as valuable as gold. And brass is a very, very low metal on the scale of metal. Brass. And brass means judgment. Brass means judgment. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brass means judgment. Anytime you see brass in the Bible, it means judgment. Gold, on the other hand, is something that was not out in the outer court. It was in the holy place and in the holy of holies. Huh? Gold is always indicative of God's nature. Hallelujah. So, and gold is very precious, isn't it? If you had a lot of gold, you'd be very rich, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. So gold is representative of God's nature. But brass means judgment. Now, why would this be made out of brass and then everything in here is covered with gold? Huh? Because God wants to change you from world and sin to righteousness and wants you to have his nature. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 1, when God was creating man, he said, let us create man in our own image, in God's own image, and in God's likeness. So God wants you to be like him. Hallelujah. And everything in the tabernacle is working to bring to you that change. Hallelujah. This altar, does anybody know what it represents? it represents God, but it's very specific in its meaning. Are any of you born again, or have any of you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Huh?
Have any of you done that?
Yes.
Can I see your hand if you have done that? Very good. Very good. Well, okay. There are seven. As they're in school, there are 12 graduated classes every year that you have to go, one class every year that you have to go through until you come to the 12th grade in which you graduate. In the tabernacle, there are seven different steps, seven different actions, seven different activities that have to be performed as what you do when you go to school to get to the next grade. The first step that you have to take is the brazen altar. The brazen altar is representative of the cross of Jesus Christ. The law of God required a sacrifice to be made for the sake of humanity that was in the world of sin. But that sacrifice had to be a perfect sacrifice. That could be no spot, no blemish. Nothing about that offering could be spoiled or tainted in any way. And Jesus, as a man living in the world, hallelujah, Jesus as a man living in the world, he lived in the world, but he was not influenced by the world to sin. He resisted it. And because of his position, because of his place of experience and his and accomplishing that, he became that perfect sacrifice. So, when you got saved, those of you who got saved, when you got saved, you needed to come to a conclusion that the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed on Calvary, could be appropriated for you as an individual that you might be saved. One year, I'll tell you a little story that happened with me and a couple of my granddaughters. Many years ago, 20-some years ago, 19 years ago, 18 years ago, I took my two little granddaughters. They were 3 years old. Huh? Hallelujah. One time you must have been 3 years old. my wife and I took them to a conference where we were going to hear the Word of God. Now, they were both 3 years old. And in the meeting, the word was coming, very, very, very good word, very, very, very deep word. Now, you wouldn't think a three-year-old would really understand, right? But after the meeting, one of my granddaughters, oh my, she was such a cutie too. She was sitting down on the floor in front of us, you know, in the meeting hall, and she stuck her arms up like this to me, yeah? And she looked up at me. She had blonde hair. She got blue eyes. She looked up at me with those big blue eyes and reached her hands up like this to me. She didn't say a word. She just reached her hands up to me. And, of course, I knew she wanted me to pick her up. So I picked her up, I set her on my lap, and she takes my face between her two hands, just like this. And she looks me right in the face, and she said to me, "Grandpa, I do not want to be naughty anymore." Hallelujah. She said, "I don't want to be naughty anymore. I want Jesus in my heart." Hallelujah. And she, hearing the message, knowing and coming to a conscious reality that she needed the blood of Jesus to come to touch her soul and to save her. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart, he says, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. So, if you have come to that point, this is the first piece of furniture. This is your first experience. And let me tell you, children, if you have been born again, if you have accepted the blood of Jesus Christ, you are a miracle. Do you understand what a miracle is? Okay, somebody tell me what they think a miracle is. What is a miracle? Anybody got an idea?
Jesus made the man.
Huh?
Jesus made the man.
Jesus what? Made the man to see? Yes? Well, I don't know what you're saying, but when Jesus made the man to see, that was a miracle. Yes. But a miracle is something that is impossible to happen that happens. Do you understand?
Yes.
Something that is impossible to happen that happens. Hallelujah. I wish I had a vocabulary that you would really understand it. It's totally impossible for it to happen. And yet it happens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you become born again, when you become born again, a miracle has happened to you. Hallelujah. You are a walking, talking miracle. So if you're born again, if you have received Jesus as your Savior, and somebody says to you, "Have you ever seen a miracle?" You can say, "Yes." You're looking at it. Because you have received something that was totally impossible for you to have. But because of what God did through the man Jesus, you are now able to have that experience. Hallelujah. So, to be born again means that you were in the world dead. Because if you're out here in the world in sin, you're dead. You may walk and talk, but you're dead. As far as your spirituality is concerned, you are dead. Hallelujah. But when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are now alive. You are now become a living soul. This soul out here in the world is dead. It is dead. And it is going to hell. Hallelujah. But here, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have heaven before you and hell behind you. Huh? Hallelujah. So this brazen altar is representative of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that's like being in the first grade. Hallelujah. You can't get a job just coming out of the first grade. You have to go through school. You have to grow through school till you graduate. The next step that you have to go to is the brazen. What is it? What is it called?
Brazen.
Laver. And tell me, what is it made out of? What is it made out of? What is it made out of? Okay, what is the altar made out of? So, it is a brazen altar, it is a brazen laver, so what is the brazen laver made out of?
Brass.
You said brass, right? All right, brass. Brass. Praise the Lord. What does brass mean? What does it mean? I just went through a whole long line of talking to tell you what brass means. What does brass mean? Does anybody know what brass means? All right, tell you again. Brass means judgment.
Judgment.
Brass means judgment. Hallelujah. Yes, write it down. Brass means judgment. Hallelujah. All right, I want to read you a verse in the Bible. To read you a verse in the Bible. Get my Bible open. Yeah, I won't be able to do it there. Have to do it the old-fashioned way. This verse is found in Romans, the 6th chapter. Do you know, does anybody know what the brazen laver represents? Huh?
Brass.
Yes, it's brass, but it had a specific purpose. The brazen laver was filled with water, and the priest would come to the brazen laver to wash his hands and to wash various parts of his body before he went into the Holy of Holies, into the holy place. So it's filled with water, and that means that that is representative of baptism. Hallelujah. Now, have any of you been baptized?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
How were you baptized?
Water.
with water.
Wala pa po baptism water immersion.
Yeah, I'm talking about water baptism, immersion, when you go down into the water. Not talking about sprinkling.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not talking about sprinkling. I'm talking about going under the water. Okay, some of you have been baptized that way? You've been down into the water. Hallelujah. Okay, all right, that's fine, let us go on. Baptism in the correct way and as according to the scripture in the language that it is written, which is Greek, means to be buried, means to be submerged into water. Yes. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read you a verse here. It says, this is Romans 6. I'm going to read the first one, verse 2, and verse 3. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Hallelujah. Now, listen to what it says. Therefore, we are buried. What do you do when you bury something? Tell me what you do when you bury something. Have you ever buried something in the ground? Huh? Have any of you ever buried something in the ground?
Yes.
Huh? Well, when you bury something, you dig a hole. You dig a hole in the dirt, right?
Yes.
And you dig it down there deep enough to so whatever you're going to put in it gets covered up and you can't see it anymore.
Experience?
Huh? Hallelujah. So it is, we're talking about being buried in water. It's symbolic of being buried with Christ into his death. When Jesus Christ died, they took him off of the cross, they took him to a cave in a mountain, and they buried him in the mountain and rolled the stone in front of it. He was buried in the earth. And it says, even as Christ, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so should we walk in a newness of life. So there is a position, there is a place of baptism that we as Christians have to understand. And if you're not too young, you're not too young to know about it. If you have had the blood of Jesus and you're born again. So there is a necessity for us to be baptized into the water, even as it is instructed by Jesus Christ. Now, what all of this is doing is delivering us from the world that is in our hearts. Even as if you accept Jesus Christ, there is a blood of Jesus is applied to your soul and you become a living soul. You become a living soul. The blood gives you the ability to live. But in order for you to please God and to change and to graduate to the next grade, you have to develop the spiritual life that is in you so that it has the strength to overcome the rest of the world that is in your soul. So praise God. I'm going to stop there. Praise God. I trust that what we are sowing as far as seed is concerned will in time produce fruit. So praise the Lord. God bless you, children. Thank you very much.
Kailangan